So if you want to join me, you can open your Bibles and turn to Romans 1. We've been there for a few weeks now, and we're going to continue there tonight. And if you're new with us, or maybe you missed some of the last couple of weeks, we started a series in the book of Romans that we're going to be kind of jumping in and out of over the course of the year. And we're going to continue with that tonight. And before I forget, I actually want to kind of sort of switch gears for a second, because this will be our last week in this series for the next month or so. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series. This coming week is Valentine's, and in the spirit of the occasion, we're going to be talking about sex for a few weeks. Yes, I said sex. And it's funny, because Romans talks about sex too. I thought it's just a good kind of segue, but maybe not, I don't know. But it's going to be awesome. I'm just going to say that now. And specifically, we've been preparing and praying into this. And I feel like, more than anything, it's going to be a really good opportunity to just hear through some testimonies in this community, just this journey of learning God's design and his intention for sex, and for even just through the ways that the world kind of even has distorted that, learning a better way and learning a better understanding. And really, that's a journey that we're probably all in the middle of. And so I think it's just going to be a really powerful time to hear some personal stories, and how, as we navigate that together, and as we're all kind of in this journey of learning what God's desire and design is for this thing, and even how that's kind of been skewed and distorted, and how he wants to redeem that. Okay, so starting next week, so if you're not that thrilled with Romans, well, hang in there and come back next week and stick around for February. But this is going to be good too. I'm feeling pretty good about this tonight. Romans, we've been here for a few weeks, and I just want to kind of jump into this tonight in Romans 1. We're going to be starting in verse 8. But before I do, I just, thinking about tonight and about this time, I just reminded today that we really need the good news. And I feel like it was part of what we were experiencing in worship, was just the reminder of who God is and of the message that is emanating from him, that is the good news. And I feel like sometimes the good news or the gospel kind of has become flat to us, become two-dimensional, has become something that isn't dynamic. But really, the good news is first and foremost a person. The good news is alive in that way. The good news is dynamic in that way, and it's a person. It's everything that's wrapped up in that person. It's Jesus and everything that he entails. It's his life, his death, his resurrection, and now his life that is continuing. It's a story that we are all a part of in some way, and that God wants to take us deeper into. And so the good news isn't just a series of facts or information about what God has done, but the good news is a person, the good news is Jesus, and the good news is alive. And so in this way, I want to say tonight that I believe that God wants to expand our understanding of who he is. And one of the ways he wants to do that is to expand our understanding of the good news. And we're just going to jump into this, and I think it kind of sort of speaks to that tonight. So if you're with me, starting in verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 17. Paul says this. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." So These are people that believed in the good news. These are people that believed in Jesus, so much so that something about their relationship with Him was being heard way outside of the place that they were, way outside of Rome. Like, the word was spreading about the church in Rome and those who had put their faith in Jesus. Okay? This just gives you a little bit of an idea of the people that Paul's talking to. He says, I thank God for you because of your faith that is literally being heard about all over the world. That's pretty cool. I don't know what their faith was like, but it must have been pretty good for people all over the world, especially, you know, before Twitter, to hear about the church in Rome. Even today, that would be pretty cool. Even with Twitter, you know, if someone was tweeting about your faith with Jesus and someone else all the way around the world was hearing about it, that'd be pretty cool. That would probably mean there's something going on there that's pretty special. Okay, are you guys with me? Okay, so I think that's important to kind of set the bar of who Paul's talking to. He's not talking to some people who are, you know, not serious about Jesus. Like, they had a genuine faith, a faith that had been heard all over the place. The word got out about these people in Rome who were following him, okay? So just so you know, because sometimes we read, you know, when a challenging word comes in Scripture to someone in Scripture, you know, we're like, man, who are these bums, you know? Like they can't get their act together, you know? We start to think, like, that message is for them, not for us, somebody else, not for us. But these were people who were probably living out a pretty powerful relationship with God. He says, God, whom I serve in my spirit and preaching the gospel of his son. So there's the good news. The gospel of his son. And is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all time. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. So Paul wanted to come visit them. He hadn't seen them in person yet. He had heard about them. Other people had heard about them, but Paul hadn't seen them yet. So he's writing this letter, and one of the things he says, man, I really want to be there with you. There's something about being there that Paul knew was going to be special, and he wanted to be there. There's something about us being together that's significant. You know, we can get church at home on a computer. But there's something about being here together that I don't think we can get at home on a computer. Are you with me? You can get sermons a lot better than this one at home on a computer probably, but there's something about being here that I would suggest you can't get at home even by the best preacher. So Paul was like, I want to be there. I want to be in your midst because there's something about me being there that's going to be good and significant for you and for me. And that's actually what he says next. He says, I long to see you. Because he tells them a lot in this letter. But he's like, I want to see you. Why? So that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That's really interesting. Because Paul says a lot in this letter that I think was probably really beneficial to them. And beneficial to the church as a whole. So much so that here we are way later reading about it. But there's something about being there in person. He says, I want to be there in person with you because I want to give you something in person. I want to give you something to make you strong. Interestingly enough, that verse right there in verse 11 is where some people have kind of pulled this idea of something called impartation, which is this idea, and we're not going to get into too much, but of praying something for someone, giving something that God has given you, praying a prayer that God will give that to somebody else. Okay? So, if you're wondering where that is, you've heard that, about that before, here's an example that Paul kind of references doing something like that. He says, I long to impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So Paul is recognizing not just do I have something to give you, but you have something to give me. That's the way it should be. Paul is going to say a lot of things to them. He's going to challenge them a lot. But he also recognizes they have something to give him. And so part of why Paul wants to be there is to give them something, but he also wants to be there to get something back. And there's something about being together where actually God, what he's doing in your life, is not just for you. Do you realize that? And what he's doing in someone else's life isn't just for them. And so it's actually really important that we recognize, first of all, that God is doing something in our lives. He's doing something in your life. You may not know what it is, but he's doing something. And what he's doing in your life, yes, it's for you, but it's also for somebody else. And so it's actually important that we're stewarding this relationship that we have for him. And it's not just a personal relationship. It's a community relationship in that way. And so I need to steward this relationship that I have with God so that when I come here this time, I'm not just throwing some stuff out at you, but I have something from this place that I've had with the Lord that I can share that's alive, that is worth giving away. So I just want to encourage us in that. And I feel like even as we think about coming together, what if we start thinking about our coming together that way? God, I want to steward my relationship with you in such a way, not so that I have something to give, but because I know that when I do, I will have something to give. And so that when we come together, we're not just coming to give, but we are coming to give. It's okay to come and receive, because I think that's part of the gospel. The gospel says that when you didn't have anything to give, God gave to you first. And so it's okay to come and receive, and sometimes we just need to come and receive. Some of us, we might be so used to doing that we need to just be, and we've been so used to giving that we need to just receive. But some of us need to be reminded that we also have something to give. So Paul, I think, in saying this, is he's just saying, oh, and by the way, I'm coming not just to give you something, but I'm coming to get something too. Because you have something that I want. That's pretty cool. You guys with me? He says this, goes on to say this. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times. It's like he really wants them to know. Like, I want to be there with you. He just said that. He just said, I want to come visit you. Oh, by the way, I just want you to know. I want to be there. Okay, Paul, we get it. You want to go to Rome. You want to visit the Colosseum. You want to see the art. No, you want to see the church. He says, I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Harvest is this word that also is translated fruit. Paul wants to see fruit in their lives. Again, these are people that have a faith in Jesus already. And Paul's saying, I want to see a harvest among you. What is that? He's not saying, I want to see you come to know Jesus. He's saying, I want to be a part of your growth. I want to be a part of your fruitfulness. I want to come and give you something to see fruit happen in your life. That's what we should be expecting for each other, desiring for each other, and even being a part of for each other. He says this, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And this is where I want to kind of spend the rest of our time. After I drink some water. Isn't it interesting that he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you? Now, you might not think that sounds that interesting because it's Paul. He likes preaching the gospel. But again, think about it. Who's he wanting to preach the gospel to? These people that already have this faith that's been heard around the world. And yet Paul's saying, I want to come there and I want to preach the gospel to you. It's like there's something about the good news that Paul is saying, you still don't know yet. Are you with me? These are, you know, sometimes we think preaching the gospel is for people who have never heard the gospel. It is. Sometimes we think preaching the gospel is for people that don't yet believe in Jesus. It is. But it's also for those who already have a faith that's been heard across the world. Paul's saying, I want to come to you and preach the gospel. And I would suggest that going back to this idea that sometimes the gospel becomes flat to us, the gospel is for all of us. And if the gospel becomes flat to you, part of how you know that is when it no longer becomes good news. Part of how you know that is when you actually think you already know it. Here to serve. Look at that. Love you, man. Love you. Are you with me? If we think we already know the gospel, there's probably more for us to know. Are you with me? Again, going back to the definition, because the gospel is a person. It's Jesus. If we think we know everything there is to know about him already, we probably have more to know. We do have more to know. If we think we've come to the limits of the good news, God, I understand fully how good it is. You don't. I say this one quite often. The gospel is better than you think. The gospel is better than you think. It's not just about the information. It's about coming into this relationship with God where he continues to supersede your expectation for just how good he is. That's the gospel. And that's what Paul was talking about when he says, I long to come to you to preach the good news to you. Because there's more. You think you've got God figured out. You think you know how good he is, but there's more to his goodness. And I want you to know it. And at the very least, I want you to be reminded of what you've already heard. It's not necessarily new information, but it's sometimes the same information being said in a way that we're able to receive it the way we couldn't before. Sometimes it's just the same information over again because there's something about repeating it that reminds us that it hasn't changed. So like when Cynthia is saying, God loves you, he loves you, he loves you. You've probably heard that before, but you know what? That's as basic as the good news gets, and we need to keep hearing it. And we need to keep hearing it because it hasn't changed, and we need to hear that it hasn't changed. So you might be thinking, I've heard that before, but you know what? God wants to keep telling you it because it hasn't changed. And how many of us have been challenged by the idea that maybe because we change and because we're not consistent, that somehow God might not be either. But when we hear, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, it's a reminder that, no, just because you aren't consistent doesn't mean God will ever not be. He is. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Part of what we come together for, and in fact, I would say central to us coming together, is to be reminded and to be taken deeper in the good news. To let the good news be more good in our life. To share the ways that the good news has been good for us. To share the ways that we didn't think it was as good as it really is, but now we're coming into the realization that it actually is. I know I'm saying the same thing kind of over and over again, but you know what? That's kind of what I'm getting at. It gives them a little taste says this. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, this good news. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." It's the power of God for your life. And I think that's why Paul knew we just need to keep talking about it. We need to keep speaking the truth. We need to keep being tethered to this truth that is the good news of Jesus, of what he's done, of who he is, of what he's still doing. We need to be tethered to that truth, because that truth, in that truth, there is the power of God for your life, for mine. He says earlier, he says, "Grace and peace to you." The grace and peace come from the gospel. They're embedded in the message. They're not hanging out here somewhere. They're part of what God has done, what he's given. They're not just these commodities to be thrown around, but they're actually what God has extended to us through Jesus. He's given us peace. He's made peace with humanity. So now we can say, "Peace be with you." Come on, people. "And also with you." Thank you. That was nice of you. All right, are you alive? Are you alive? All right, you good? That was a test. You guys did not pass the test. But that's okay. It's not based on you passing that test. And grace, right? Grace. It's what God has given. It's God giving us what we couldn't earn, what we didn't deserve. And so when he says grace and peace be with you, he's saying the gospel be with you. Are you alive? Are we alive? Look, do this for me. This is what our response to good news should be.
Yay!
I'm not going to force you, but I will keep reminding you. Okay? I will keep reminding you. Like Paul, he's like, I don't know what their faces are going to look like, but they should be happy when they receive this. That's the good news. I like that. That's good, man. You've got a great smile. You should use it more. It's good. Man, I can just tell you, the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God for your life. Anybody need some power of God in their life? Like, we don't have to go back too far. Just go back to Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday. For me, I just go back and rewind the whole week and look at moments where I'm like, "God, I need more of your power in my life." That is, your ability to accomplish something in me and through me that I can't accomplish on my own. That's the power of God. That's the gospel. The way you get that is when the gospel comes in and gives you what you don't have. That is the Holy Spirit in you, residing with you, working hand in hand with you. But it's also being reminded of what Jesus has done and who he is for you now and what he wants to be in your situation, what he wants you to believe him for, what he wants to see, what he wants you to see in yourself now that he is there. That's the gospel. That's the power of God in your life to do something, to rescue you. Man, I need some gospel power today. Like I said, I've needed it all week. We've been in a challenging season with our boys. And man, there have been some moments where I'm like, I don't know who that guy was that just responded to my beautiful 3.5-year-old, but I don't want to see him again. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about driving to the gym and having a little mini meltdown at the traffic light because my son is having a little mini meltdown in the back seat. But he's 3.5 and I'm 34. I was there for it. You weren't, but it was pretty bad. And I'm sure the people at the traffic light in the car next to me were thinking the same thing. Thankfully, we all had our seatbelts on, so I couldn't reach that far to him, and he couldn't reach that far to me. But he did throw his water bottle across the room at across the car to his brother. That was kind of what set it off for me. Anyway, it wasn't a good moment for anybody. But I've been walking in this gospel for a little while. He's still 3 and a half, you know. I'm not quite sure where he's at, but I needed some power in my life. And sometimes we realize it in the moments where we don't have it. A lot of times that's where we realize it. And there's mercy for those moments, but there's also grace for the next one like it. And so today, I'm reading a lot about the gospel, just on my own. I wasn't in Romans, but I'm just, God, I need you to remind me of who I am. I need you to remind me of who you are for me. I need you to remind me of what you've done. And I need you to remind me of what's possible now because I know you. Because the gospel, the power is not only for freeing us from what we used to do, it's for freeing us into being who God's called us to be now. It's not just the ability to say no to what we want to say no to, it's the ability to say yes now to what God has called us into. Are you with me? So I'm reading about this today, and what do you know it? Perfect opportunity. Like the best opportunity in a while. What I mean by that is my son has the worst meltdown, I think, possibly. I'm not trying to overstate because pastors do that. We share stories in pastor terms. We count in pastor terms. But this, you can ask my wife, if not the worst, top 5 meltdowns of all time for him in his 3 and a half years. Would you say top 3? Maybe top 2? Maybe number 1? I don't know. But I'm looking at him like, do I know you? Like, the amount of crazy that is coming out of you right now, I'm not sure I know you. And I don't even know why. I don't even know why he was acting like that. And I even gave him a cookie. It didn't help. It made it worse because he threw the cookie on the window. And then he was upset because the cookie was stuck to the window and he didn't have it anymore. True story. Meanwhile, we're driving to church. La la la. Perfect time for this. Maria's like, I don't even know how we're doing this. Maybe we should turn around. I had that thought too, babe. I did. It's true, I did. But you know what? It was like what God gave me today actually did something. Because Thursday, when I had this mini meltdown in the car, that was nothing compared to this one. But somehow something was different today. It was like I've been taking in the truth of who he is and who he wants to be for me and who I am in him, and that I can have peace even when my son is going berserk in the back seat. It was like I actually believed that today. And so I'm driving on the way here and he's going crazy and I'm not. And I'm like, this is a good feeling. It's kind of loud in here, my ears hurt. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good right now. And we get here, and we start worshiping, and you know what? Like, my peace is intact. So that's just a little testimony. That's the power of the gospel. And it's why we need to be reminded of it in our lives over and over and over again, because you're going to need it tomorrow. You might need it tonight. Like, if we ordered pizza that you don't like. Or if you have to talk to somebody you don't like. I don't know. All right, we're going to wrap up. Trying to decide how we're going to do that. We'll pray. Let's do that. All right? Let's pray. And as we pray, I want to, because we are here together, I do want to just take a moment to impart something. And I think what the Lord was reminding me today is that the joy that I've given you isn't circumstantial. And you're free to walk in it. And I want to impart that to anybody that that wants it tonight. And I want to pray that. And so if you want that tonight, just open your hands to receive it. And I don't need to see your hands. But if you want that, just open your heart to receive it, more importantly. And you know, the gospel says that, I think Paul knew it pretty well. He knew that he could be unshakable in God, regardless of what was going on. And that's because what we have, it's not dictated by what's going on around us. And in fact, we can be in the middle of a mess and walk with joy and walk with peace, because He is those things and they're found in Him. So I just want to impart that for anybody that needs it. And it's a person. Again, it's a person. It's God Himself. He's the joy giver. He is peace. And so God, I pray for this family tonight. And God, I thank you. You have so much to give us. I thank you that anything we need, God, you are capable to provide. God, I thank you that you want to just continue to speak the truth of who you are and what you've done through your gospel, through your good news. You want to continue to remind us. And God, I just pray for hearts tonight, God, that we would be established in your joy. And God, I thank you today. It was a reminder for me because you've called me to walk, and you've called me to walk as a joy bearer. And God, it's been hard. And today was just a reminder that, you understand the things that keep us from walking in our purpose. You understand the things that keep us from walking in the fullness of who you made us to be. But you're also saying it doesn't have to be that way. And so God, I just want to pray for anyone in the room that needs your joy, that wants to be established in your joy. Joy unshakable. God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that it would be theirs. And that it would be found in something that is on the inside, not out there somewhere. It would be found on the inside. It would be found in that place with you. It would be found in that place of knowing who you are for them, of hearing your voice. And I pray, God, that when the moments come, not if, but when the moments come that would seek to uproot that joy, that would seek to take away our peace, God, that we would see them as you see them, God, as opportunities to continue to be established even more in what you've already given us. And God, that we would be compiling victories in that way in our journey with you, victories where your joy had its way and won out, where your good news had its way, and despite what we were seeing, we continue to see you. God, I just pray that over the people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take communion, and as we do, we are recognizing and coming back to what is at the center of this gospel, which is that God gave everything. He gave us His life.